This is the Zero Input Agriculture podcast. Every second episode will feature an audio version of a past post from the Zero Input Agriculture blog. If you wish to support my work and read the archive of past posts, sign up for a paid subscription on Substack. Once there, you can also listen to the audiobook version of Taming the Apocalypse, my exploration of the biotechnological roots of civilization and its dazzling post-industrial future. A solitary season. Human intelligence is built around pattern matching. We filter the complexity of the world and make predictions about the future and adjust our behavior accordingly. The power of this strategy has recently been demonstrated with ChatGPT, a large language model that merely predicts the next word based on the entire output of 8 billion humans tapping on 8 billion digital typewriters. ChatGPT's output is mostly coherent, even if it isn't quite Shakespeare. The renegade physicist, mathematician, and computer scientist Stephen Wolfram wrote a book called A New Kind of Science. I read this during my PhD, long ago, and it influenced me deeply. In it, he outlines how systems built from simple repeated rules, modeled in programs called cellular automata, can produce unexpected, complex behavior. He divided the patterns he saw into four classes. Class 1 were unchanging. Class 2 displayed regular periodic patterns that could be reduced down to simple rules, allowing the state of the program to be predicted at any point in the future. Class 3 rules appeared to be chaotic, indistinguishable from static on a TV screen. Class 4 is where things got weird, with higher level structures unfurling in a way that defied all attempts at simplification. They were, as Wolfram put it, computationally irreducible. It also helped that they were often strikingly beautiful, like pixel art versions of the Mandelbrot set. I spent many late nights torturing Microsoft Excel to produce my own cellular automata, since my programming skills were close to nil. And I discovered a way to automatically classify new patterns into the four classes, but I'm getting a little distracted from my destination in this post. Humans crave stability and predictability. The coldest winter is bearable if you've seen several beforehand, know when the next is coming, and prepare accordingly. We take comfort in our science that claims to have explained so much and provided so much power and plenty. Spending time inside the research world opened my eyes to how limited the reductionist, materialist mindset is. Reality may well be made of nothing more than a handful of particles bouncing off each other, much like the little squares in a cellular automata. Despite our faith in the predictions of science, most of the time the real world behaves more like a class 4 cellular automata on steroids. Scientists create controlled experiments, artificial pockets of reality with most of the variables stripped away, in order to make class 2 type systems. That way, simple rules can be extracted and papers published. The application of those rules to reality is extremely limited. Even something as simple as three orbiting celestial bodies is impossible to model. Physics tells us we cannot measure the initial conditions without changing them. Math must round off its calculations, blurring our prophecies as they look further ahead. Our human craving for predictability found its way into our study of history itself. Past civilizations rose and fell, more predictably than the growth and toppling of trees in a forest. The pessimists apply the neat curves of history to our own time and predict imminent, unstoppable decline. The optimists list the reasons why industrial civilization is different to its agricultural predecessors. I've been thinking a lot about industrial civilization, in case you hadn't noticed. Previous agricultural civilizations were like the life cycle of mighty trees, spreading their branches to steal sunlight and water from lesser competitors. What pattern in nature could we best compare to the strange industrial superorganism we find ourselves inside of? The closest model I can find is the phenomenon of a whale fall. The deep ocean floor is a desperate place. A fine snow of dead plankton rains down from above, barely supporting a sparse community of slow-growing creatures in the crushing darkness. But every now and then, a whale dies and its carcass drifts down. A patch of soft mud is instantly transformed into a resource-rich extravaganza. An explosion of organisms arrive, turning the corpse into a parade of life forms until the oily bones are sucked clean by burrowing worms. Whale falls happen all the time, but from the perspective of the humble seafloor creatures, it is a unique event. The former scavengers, adapted to a meagre diet, are pushed aside until the commotion is over, after a century or so. Given their exceptionally long lifespans, I wonder what they think about the whole affair. Perhaps the last few hunter-gatherers alive today can empathise. People today often worry about overpopulation and carrying capacity. There is an old joke, "My weight is perfect for my height," which varies. I like to think this also applies to global human populations, which vary in response to changes in carrying capacity. Swelling to 8 billion souls was an inevitable consequence of industrial abundance. When the resources that made industrial civilization possible are gone, humanity will strike a new balance. Unsustainable is just a short-sighted way to say self-correcting. Industrial civilization is a unique superorganism, a planet-sized detritivore feasting on the carboniferous carcass that fell to the bottom of Earth's crust 300 million years ago. Life on Earth only figured out how to consume that feast in the last few centuries. That feast is almost over. Human minds are always seeking patterns. But how do they cope with something that will happen only once in the multi-billion-year lifespan of their homeworld? Often when people learn that the oily foundation for their existence is crumbling, they reach for anything that promises stability. Humans may be the most adaptable species on the planet, but we are mostly incapable of voluntary change. Perhaps it is wiser to change only when we must. My aim in writing this essay was mostly to invite you to change your perspective on the predicament facing humans today. Often, the Industrial Revolution, and sometimes agriculture itself, are framed as terrible mistakes that we should have somehow had the wisdom to avoid, original sins that must be atoned for through extraordinary sacrifices. That story trope worked well as a foundation for Christianity, which was itself a recycled version of even older stories. Perhaps it isn't surprising that we are repurposing this worldview for the challenges we face today. Why reinvent the self-flagellating wheel? I wonder what those bone-eating worms think as they suck the last drops of whale oil from the stripped carcass. The complexity of their life cycle is sustained by the fact that other whales will fall predictably, somewhere, and that their larvae will be plentiful enough to find them. Their type of intelligence was built on the basis of that predictable pattern, even though most of their drifting offspring will die during dispersal. Industrial civilization will not be so lucky. Ours is a solitary season, the glorious moment when free energy rained down and filled the mouths of our hungry machines. Given the geological legacy of the planet, it was inevitable that some life form would crack open the hydrocarbon vault. I like to believe that we were more interesting than some vast slimy mushroom. Our present flowering should be viewed with astonishment, not regret, right down to the bowerbird nests bursting with plastic milk carton lids and the radioactive wolves. Instead of investing your limited time and energy sharpening regrets over the collective choices of our entire species over the last 10,000 years, I invite you to cast your eyes forward to the spacious eternity that lies before us. The steady shower of plankton that sustained our ancestors will carry on in the form of sunlight bathing this planet. We could return to the predictable cycles of the past and silently agree to never speak of the great industrial feast ever again. Not that anyone would believe the stories. That strategy feels like a missed opportunity to me. Humans alive today have resources and choices that may never exist again. Any one of us could plant seeds, both literal and figurative, that will grow into a new kind of future, just as improbable and wondrous as the industrial era. Rather than seeing the industrial era as a regrettable disaster, I would encourage you to see our time as a strange, extravagant party, one that will soon end. Some guests are arguing over whether the punch bowl is half full or half empty. Rather than picking a side, fill your cup while you can and drink deeply. Stuff your handbag with mini sausage rolls, since they taste even better with a sprinkling of dead plankton, if you can bother gathering it. Retrieve your coat before the punch-ups and hangovers begin. Find a friend or three and drift off into the night. One day, with a little luck, your descendants might stumble upon a completely different kind of party. The music will be weird, the snacks unfamiliar, but you are a human, and that means that you can dance to any tune and savour the strangest of treats, provided nothing else is on offer. I trust you, human. You will change, more than you can imagine, but only when the time is right. ¶¶